Well, let's begin this morning in John chapter 14. I've been on a series concerning the authentic Jesus of the Bible. And are we worshiping the Jesus of the Bible? Do we know the true and the living God and His Son in whom He sent and what that sacrifice accomplished? And so we're going to look at something concerning Jesus. And again, it seems like I've been on this forever, but I pray you're getting blessed. I pray that you're receiving. And today's message, most of you are going to know, but you need assured. I don't need to hear anything any longer to have faith in God, but I'm constantly listening. I'm constantly receiving from the ministry gifts that God has placed in His body that bring assurance to my salvation, bring confidence to the faith that I have, and cause me to know that I know that I know, not only deep in my spirit man, but even illuminated in my mind, that I haven't called upon the name of a false god. I haven't bit into religion. I haven't bit into an organization. I haven't bit into something of man or created in the mind of man. I've called upon the name of the living God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, and been born again and saved. And I need constant assurance in that in these perilous times, deceiving times. And so I pray that you're receiving assurance from the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is a profound declaration that Jesus made in that sixth verse. And no one in the history of the human race has ever made such a statement. All the false prophets, all the false religions, all the false gods who are no gods at all in the light of the true and the living God, the Most High God, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, they say things like there is a way, a philosophy, a trail, a means, a this or a that. Jesus didn't say He was a way to the Father. He said He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, God's not being dogmatic there. He's not being narrow-minded. He's made it simple so there can be no confusion or we make any mistake. There's only one way, not many ways, to Father and to His house, and that's through Jesus Christ and the cross. Now, this starts off chapter 14 in verse 1 with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There was a reason why the Lord said that to His disciples. Now, we can receive from that passage, the Holy Spirit is with us and among us to take God's Word and apply it to our everyday lives and experiences. And we go through things in this life as believers where our heart gets troubled and we need to stand on that passage and the Holy Spirit will minister to us. But you need to know the context that Jesus said that in, because the disciples' hearts was troubled. They were brokenhearted. Something was said in chapter 13 that shook them up. It shook them up so bad that Jesus began to talk about how they knew the way and they knew how to get there wherever He was going. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where You're going and how can we know the way? Jesus said they knew where He was going and they knew the way. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Somebody missed it. Can I get a witness? Can you guess who missed it? Now, this is simple. This isn't hard. Some of you aren't responding. This is kind of like, which hand is the peanut in, okay? It's not a trick question. Jesus said, you know where I'm going and you know the way. Jesus is truth. He's God made flesh. He cannot lie. He said they knew it. Thomas said, I don't know it. Somebody missed it. It wasn't Jesus. Let me tell you that. Thomas missed it. Now, Jesus said He knew it, so He must have known it. The only answer to that paradox there is Thomas didn't know what he knew. Jesus said He knew it. But he didn't know he knew it.
But he knew it. If Jesus said he knew it, he knew it.
Did you know it's that way in our Christian life? We know things that we don't fully understand. We know truth when we hear it. Truth has a sound. It has a ring. You may not be able to understand it all. You may not be able to comprehend it in your mind. But when you hear the truth of God, something in your heart says, that's right. I don't fully understand it or know all of it. But I know truth when I hear it. And much of the Christian life that we live is the Holy Spirit illuminating us, giving illumination and enlightenment to our minds, to what we know in our heart of hearts. And Jesus is that way. You know him, and you know he's God, and you know who he is, and anytime anything is proclaimed about him, it just rings on the inside of you. You may have never heard it with these ears, but when you hear the truth, the ear of your heart goes, that's right, and now you just need to be illuminated to it. The Bible says they knew it, yet they, in their carnal mind, got confused. They got shook. Have you ever gotten shook in your faith and in your revelation of God? You know that you know he loves you, but you're wavering. You're not sure. You get confused when things happen. In John chapter 18, another declaration of the deity of Jesus is made. An example. I can't turn over there because of time constraints, but in John chapter 18, it's where they came to arrest Jesus. And I've talked about this throughout this series. And when they came into the garden, Jesus said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible says Jesus proclaimed, I am. Now, the King James Bible says, I am he, but the he is in italics. That's not in the original text. The translators put that in there to help us. What he did and what he said was, I am. He used the name that God gave, Jehovah God gave Moses in the desert. And when he said, I am, there was so much power, so much anointing, so much of the presence of God demonstrated and manifested. In verses 4 and 5, it says they went backwards and fell down on the ground. It knocked them down when he said, I am. A lot of times I'm asking traveling, why when God manifests, do people fall down? That's the simplest question I've ever been asked in the history of my ministry. The reason people fall down when God shows up is they can't stand up. Amen. If God manifested himself, he's here. The Bible declares him walking up and down the aisles right now in the midst of the candlestick. He is here, but he's not manifesting and in his fullness, and his kingdom is here right now, but it's not manifested in its fullness. When Jesus said, I am, boom, the power of God fell, the anointing of God fell, and these people fell on the ground. You know, there's times in life that even if you're as dumb as a rock, you need to stay down. You know what I'm saying? If I'd have been in that crowd about to arrest the Lord, I would have either stayed down on the ground and said, I am not going to participate in this, or I would have tried to get up, go home, watch I Love Lucy or something, but I'm not going to arrest this man, amen? People are funny when it comes even to God manifesting, showing himself. He wants to reveal himself to you in so many different ways. I just pray you have eyes to see and ears to hear, amen? God is good and he loves you and he's here to minister to you and to meet any need in your life. Now, let's go back to chapter 13 because something Jesus said shook them up so bad they got confused, their hearts were troubled and broken. You realize when the Bible was written, it didn't have chapters and verses in there. Man put those in there, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we have put chapters and verses in the Word of God for reference reasons and to study together and to search things out together. But when it was written, there were no chapters and verses. So something happened in chapter 13 that shook them up. Let's go back to chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I've given you, that you love one another, and as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Jesus answered him, Where I go, thou cannot follow me now. Underline now. Mark now. Where I'm going, you can't go now. Then he said, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. In other words, I'm going somewhere, and you can't come with me now, but later on you can come where I am. That's when he goes into verse 38. Jesus answered him, or Peter said in verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee and for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. I want to go with you. I don't want you to leave me. Remember, these guys had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had ate with him. They had worked with him. They had suffered with him. They had done the work of God with him. And now he's saying, this is it. The end of the old is at hand, and the birthing of the new is at hand at the same time. I'm about to bring closure to the Old Testament, and something has to be done to birth the New Testament. And I got to go somewhere that you can't go now. But I'm going to come back, and you will be able to go there later. Then he starts off in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. See, their heart was troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus has not gone to heaven to build you a cabin. Get that in your psyche. He's no longer a carpenter building houses in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am you may be also. Listen at verses 1 through 4 in the New Living Translation. Don't be troubled. You trust God? Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home. I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I'm going and you know how to get there. The Amplified Bible says of that word mansions in verse 2, dwelling places. The Jerusalem Bible says many rooms. See, Father has a house. Father's always had a house. And in Father's house are many rooms. And Jesus went not just to the cross. The cross was not the end of his destiny and destination. The cross was a way to get somewhere. He went to the cross and it didn't end there. He died on the cross. He bore your sins on the cross. He bore God's judgment, God's wrath for all your disobedience, for all your rebellion. But then he died, and he didn't die his death. He had no death. He died your death. But he was raised from the dead, and that was your justification, like I've taught you. And now from there, he went to Father's house. And no one could go to Father's house. And he went to Father's house and did something that made a way for him to come back and to take them where he is in Father's house. Now, the reason we miss so many things in traditional Christianity at large, especially contemporary Christianity at large, is we don't understand the history of our people. We don't understand the history of the Bible. We don't understand for thousands of years God painted pictures of things to come and not the very substance of those things. He painted pictures on the earth through Israel that were called types and shadows. And Jesus came to bring substance to the pictures, to bring reality to the dreams that God painted for thousands of years. Let me go over it again because we have to get on the same page. Then we're going to talk about Father's house on the earth that was a picture of God's house in heaven. Jesus said, you cannot go with me now. Afterwards, you can come. Where is he going? He's going to Father's house. What is he going to do? He's going to make room for us in Father's house. Then he says he will come back again. Now listen very carefully. This is not talking about the second coming of the Lord that hadn't happened yet. And there is a second coming of the Lord still to come. Did you hear me say that? Okay, some of you did not nod. There is a second coming that hasn't happened yet. And Jesus is coming back. And remember, he is the lion that is a lamb. And you accept him as a lamb now and his love, or you're going to meet the lion that's roaring out of Zion. And I'm telling you, he's coming back on a white horse. He's coming back as King of Kings, and he's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as Lord, executing judgment in the earth. Now, that has not happened yet. That's the second time I said there is a second coming, and it hadn't happened yet. Did you hear me that time? Okay, that's not enough of you. I've taught this before, and people have went out and said I said something I didn't say. So I'm going to say it for the third time. There is a second coming that has not happened, and that is going to happen soon, when Jesus comes back on a white horse with all the saints, and he will consummate his kingdom on the earth. It's already here, but it can't be seen. It will explode in the natural world, and all unrighteousness will be put down, and Jesus Christ and you and I will rule and reign in the earth. The Bible says for 1,000 years. Now, that has not happened. So that's the third time I've said it. So if you can't hear, you need a doctor. Because it's plain. This is not the second coming. Jesus left. He went to the cross. He died. He was buried. There's a mystery on those 3 days that we have to be careful, because I'm not sure all that happened between the cross and the throne, but I do know this: on the third day he was raised again, and he ascended into heaven, and he did something in heaven, in Father's house. Then he came back, and Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says that he taught his disciples for 40 days on the earth concerning the things of the kingdom of heaven. Then he ascended again with them watching him into the heavens. So when Jesus said, "I will come again," here, he's not talking about the second coming. He's talking to his disciples. Don't let your heart be troubled. My Father has a house, and I'm going to Father's house, and I'm going to do something there in Father's house that'll make room for you. And I'm going to come back, and something's going to happen when I come back where you can forever be where I am in Father's house. Now, to understand that, we have to have an understanding, at least of some sort, of Father's house on the earth. Moses built Father's house, a tent on the earth. And it's important that you understand God had a way to come to him, and you had to come to him that way. God lived in a tent. The tent had many rooms in it. It had an outer court, it had a holy place, and it had a holy of holies, and Father God dwelt in that house. Solomon later built the temple, and it took 46 years to build that temple. And when Solomon built the temple, he built different rooms in the temple. Had an outer court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. And there was a veil that separated the people from the Holy of Holies, where Father dwelt in his house on the earth. Now, Moses didn't make this up. Israel didn't make up their own mind how to come to God and blood sacrifices. God showed Moses heaven. And he told Moses, "You make on earth what you see in heaven." So see, God's house in heaven was here before his house on the earth. And so he puts a house on the earth, and it has many rooms. And in those rooms, again, there's an outer room, an outer court, and the Gentiles and all of Israel could come to Father's house and come to the outer court. But you could only come with a sacrifice. You had to bring blood. You had to bring a lamb. Then there was another room in Father's house, the holy place. Only the priest could go into the holy place. Not everyone could go into that room. They couldn't go in there. Only the priest could go in there, and you had to be of the lineage of Aaron to be a priest. In other words, they were priests by birth. By birth. You had to be born in the right family. You had to have the right blood, Aaron's blood, in your vein to be a priest. Then there was another room that Father dwelt in. It was called the Holy of Holies. There was a thick veil, a very thick veil, that separated that room from the other rooms. And the high priest could only go in there, and he went in there once a year to offer up blood for the sins of Israel. It was called the Day of Atonement. And so I want to walk you through this. A lot of times I can say something in 5 minutes, but it'll take you years to dig it all out. You've got to read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and especially Deuteronomy to understand God's house on the earth and the high priest role. The high priest was chosen. You had to be born of the of the lineage of Aaron to be a priest, and you had to be chosen to be the high priest. And the high priest once a year would offer up sacrifices for the sins of the whole nation. So here's what would happen on the Day of Atonement. All of the family, all of God's people would come to Father's house. And the priest would kill a lamb and take its blood. And the priest would take that blood into Father's house. And he would take it into a room that nobody could go. And he would sprinkle the blood of a lamb on a mercy seat with two cherubim angels, and the presence of God dwelt there, and he would sprinkle blood for the sins of all of Israel. But listen to me, nobody could see that. Nobody could see that. They had to believe by faith in that blood and in that high priest that he did what he said he did, because you couldn't see it. You couldn't go there. You couldn't go into that part of Father's house. And so you had to, by faith, believe that that high priest represented you before God. The neat thing about the high priest, they had a breastplate on. And in that breastplate was the 12 tribes of Israel represented. 12 beautiful, gorgeous stones in a breastplate. So when the high priest went into Father's house, when he went into a room nobody could go into, he stood there and represented all of Israel. And Israel's on the outside and they're excited and they know that the high priest is going where I can't go. And that the high priest is doing something I can't do. And that I have to have faith, though, that that high priest is sprinkling that blood on that mercy seat. And that he's representing me, that God sees me in the high priest. I'm represented in the high priest before Father in his house, in a room I can't go into. The second thing the high priest would do that's amazing, because God wanted two witnesses that I love you, two witnesses that I'm forgiving you, two witnesses that a way has been made into my presence. And so the second witness was the high priest would take a goat. And the high priest would lean on the goat and take his hands and press onto the goat and begin to confess all the sins of Israel. And so they all heard it and they all saw this one. So they get to see something. They get to feel something. And so they're all involved and he's confessing sins and he's pronouncing all the sins of Israel on them, because some of you haven't been to church lately. So we might have missed something and you're probably not quite right and up to speed with your relationship with God. So the high priest is confessing all the sins for the whole year of all the nation onto the goat. Then he would take a rope, put it around the goat's neck, and walk it right through the crowd, right to the edge of the city, take the rope off, and the goat would disappear into the desert. And so they would watch their sins confessed on a goat and their sins disappear forever and ever. You know, it took a lot of faith to believe in those two witnesses, though. All that is a type. All that is a shadow. And why it's tough to read the whole book of Leviticus, and you need to read it, and you need to read Exodus, and you need to read especially Deuteronomy, all that's in there. And they did that for thousands of years. A way, the way, no other way to Father's house, no other way into those rooms, except you come by blood and faith in the blood. You have a priest that's born of the tribe or lineage of Aaron, and you have a high priest that can go into the Holy of Holies. Now turn back to John chapter 2, and let's see what Jesus said about God's house. And this is the passage where Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what he said, and then we're going to read it. He said, "You tear this temple down. You tear this house down. You tear this way down to Father, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again." See, a lot of people get stuck either in the old covenant and don't transition into the new, or they just ignore the old. This is important to us, that we see these types and shadows. It's important that we really realize that Jesus truly is the author of the Bible and the subject of the Bible. Okay, that was really weak. Jesus is the author of the Bible. And he's the subject of the Bible. The Bible's really not about Israel. It's really not about the church. It's really not about you and me. We're all in there. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God's great love and salvation for man and how he did it so you can be assured to come his way. Come his way. Look at what Jesus said now about the temple and tearing it down and how he called it Father's house. John chapter 2, verse 12. "After this, he went down into Capernaum. he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. See, I know it's been a long time. I started this months ago, but do you remember my opening message on how the Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus most people know in churches today? God is not tolerant. There's not a tolerant bone in God's body. God is patient. And there's a difference between patience and tolerance. Tolerance is passive. Tolerance is non-judgmental. Tolerance is non-caring. Tolerance just puts up with and even ignores. Patience and the patience of God is nothing like that. And Jesus' patience does run out. There's a time where patience has run its course, and there's a side of God that we all need to understand and we need to know. And Jesus gave us glimpses of a God that is a holy, righteous God. And there's a point where his patience runs out. His patience ran out with the disciples. How long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to suffer you? That's not very tolerant. How long are you going to keep asking for a sign, you perverse generation? Doesn't sound very tolerant to me. He was mad here. He tore the place up. I mean, that'd be like God coming to church today and we are so out of order. We're so far from what he ordained in a manifestation of his kind of life that he comes up here and throws the pulpit over, takes all the instruments, and it looks like a rock concert. He's breaking the guitars and that'll hit the rest of you later. Cameras overthrown. People, even in church today, we go, that's not Jesus. Jesus is so meek and so kind and so tolerant. Jesus is the Son of the living God, and Jesus is holy, and Jesus is righteous, and Jesus is patient. Yes, he's long-suffering for change to come into your life, for you to bear fruit, for you to be what he's called you to be, and for you to become conformed into his very image. Anything else, he's not tolerant at all with. There's a time with your own kids that your patience better run its course or it's not love. Tolerant parents destroy their families. There's a place for patience with your kids, but there's a place too where love says, enough is enough. I said do the dishes. Come on. Amen. Jesus upset. I love the Jesus of the Bible. He is not PC. I serve a BC Jesus, biblically correct, not a PC Jesus. Amen. Amen. We've got to quit trying to conform Jesus into our image and expect him to bless it. We better respond to him and the Holy Spirit conform us into his image and it'll be blessed. Amen. It'll be blessed. All right. So he's had a fit. Amen. Verse 16 says, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. He called the temple father's house. Amen? It's in red, amen? Jesus said, this is my father's house, make not his house a place of merchandise. Look at the next verse. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house, third time, hath eaten me up. Second witness, the Old Testament called the temple God's house. The temple was God's house on the earth, but remember, it was a picture, a pattern of God's house in heaven. God's house in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many dwelling places, many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. You can't go with me now. You can't go where I'm going. But I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, everybody say am. Where I am, you may be also. Where's Jesus? How many of you know he's not on the cross? And you don't need to be on the cross dying daily either. You need to die. Bleed out, honey, and get born again. Amen. Get saved by the power of God. We need to deny self daily. We need to die daily, yes, to all these things that are the world and of our flesh. But Jesus isn't on the cross. He's at the right hand of the Father in Father's house. And that's where you've been raised as well, if you've called upon his name. He goes on to say in verse 18, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Tear this house down, and in 3 days I'll raise up another house." Wow. Then he goes on to say in verse 21, "But he spake of the temple of his body." How many of you know 46 years is a long building program? I don't believe I could handle that, amen? We're in a building program now for our school and children's church, and I mean, if it took 46 years, I just got to tell you, I'd be suicidal or on dope, one of the two. I'd be driven into drinking if it took 46 years. They were so mad. Let that go, the rest of you. I'm okay. I'm telling you that they had been taught for thousands of years. We don't understand that in our world. We don't understand that in our culture. As a nation, we're just a little over 200 years. And if we don't get a revival or a revolution soon, we're going to vote ourselves into total destruction as a nation. We're not even going to survive 300 years if something doesn't change in this country. And so I'm telling you, we don't comprehend thousands of years of anything. For thousands of years, the way to Father's house was blood, the priest, and the high priest. Moses was the way. This was hard on them. They were so mad when he said, "Tear this house down, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." They were so mad about that, 3 years later at his mockery trial, they brought a witness in that said, "He said, tear the temple down in 3 days. He'll raise." They were still mad. Now, I've gotten and had people mad at me, but 3 years, you got to be mad. Okay, y'all don't understand. I mean, you got to be upset to be mad for 3 years over anything. Why did it upset them so bad? Why did it rub them wrong? Thousands of years. This is the way. This is the way. Moses is the way. Blood is the way of bulls and goats. Priests are the way. High priest is the way. Jesus is about to now, at the cross, bring closure to that way and bring in the new way, the new and the living way. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is a book that if you'll read it over and over and over again, you'll find understanding to Leviticus or Exodus, Leviticus, and especially Deuteronomy. The book of Hebrews has helped me the most with reading it over and over and over again, because once I got understanding that Jesus brings substance to the types and shadows, and that there was a reality to all that Old Testament way, but the New Testament is the substance of it. Now I could go back to Leviticus and read it and get something out of it. I remember in church, if the preacher went to Leviticus or Exodus or even Deuteronomy, I mean, I was bored to tears because I couldn't see how it applied. And as a teenager, you're ADD anyway. You think you know everything. And if you think you can't use the information, I mean, you're ready to go home. And so thank God for this book, the book of Hebrews. I'm encouraging you to read it over and over again. It'll bring light to all that Old Testament order. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. This is talking about Jesus here. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." See, Jesus came to do the will of God. "I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first," that's talking about the first testament, Old Testament, "that he may establish the second," that's the New Testament. Verse 10 says, "By the which will," the word will there means testament, just like you make a will for your children and for your heirs, that word will there means testament. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering the offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices," which can never take away sins. "But this man," That's Jesus. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness. Say, the Holy Ghost is a witness. The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Man, that is so powerful. That right there says that God has a house and that Jesus entered that house. And that Jesus did something in that house to make room for you and me. See, Jesus came and not only went to the cross and died for your sins and paid the penalty like I've taught you, bore God's wrath against you and God's negative judgment on you. He died your death. He was buried. Third day he was raised from the dead, and that wasn't the end. You'll recall when he was raised from the dead, Mary met him at the tomb, and Jesus said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." See, he's going somewhere. Don't touch me. Don't defile me. Why? He is fixing to take his blood into Father's house, and he's going into a room no man can go, where the fullness of God is, and he's going to take his blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven for all your sins. And we were in the heart of Jesus. We were part of that breastplate in his heart, and where he went, we went. And he represented us, and we couldn't see it. See, we can't see Father's house. So we have to believe in this witness of Jesus Christ, and that as the high priest, he did what the pictures painted for thousands of years, and that he really did go on into heaven, and he really did go into the Holy of Holies, where no man had ever seen God. No man had ever seen the fullness of God. And as a man on our behalf, yes, he was God, I taught you that, but he was God made flesh. And as a man, a high priest, with all of us in his heart, he goes where we can't go. And he sprinkles his very blood on the mercy seat. And the reason it only has to be shed one time, see, in the Old Testament, they had to shed blood after blood after blood every year. Because, see, the blood of bulls and goats can't really take away sin. It just covered sin. Jesus didn't cover sin. He took sin away. And boom, there's the witness. Then he left Father's house and he came back. And how many of you know that you can be born again? You can be born into the family of God. And you can become, by faith, if you'll get born again, a priest in the house of God, to offer up bloodless sacrifices to God. And not only did Jesus take his blood, the blood of the Lamb, the first witness, God sent the Holy Spirit, the second witness, to give you an assurance in your heart that you're loved, to give you an assurance that you're forgiven and that your sins have been washed away in the sea of forgetfulness. Remember the high priest would lean on the goat taken off? Jesus not only bore your sins, he took them away. Where God will not judge you in a negative judgment ever again. He'll never be wroth with you. He'll never pour wrath out on you. You're his children. You're a part of his family. You're in his house. Now, because of time constraints, write Matthew 7:13-14 down. Matthew 7:13-14. Jesus makes a declaration again that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go therein. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now, where is the gate in reference to a house? It's in the yard. It's in the outer court. But write down now, John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. After that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. I'm the door. What do you put a door on? You put a door on a house. You put a door on a house. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have not believed in just a prophet. You've not believed in just a good man. You've not believed in an angel that was manifested. You've not believed in a man that became a God. If you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your faith in the way to God, the way to everlasting life. Not a way, but the way. He is the gate and the narrow way, and He is the door to Father's house. And the good news is, He done such a powerful work that we can't see with these eyes, but if we'll have faith in God's Word, we know that our sins have forevermore been forgiven, washed away, removed from the mind of God, and that we have access not only into God's house, we have access into the Holy of Holies by the new and the living way, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody can walk with God. Everybody can know God personally. Everyone can be intimate with God. That is such good news. No more mediators. No more separation. When Jesus was raised from the dead, I don't know how thick that veil was in the temple, but it was many feet thick. It wasn't like a curtain, a lightweight curtain you can kind of see through and can just be ripped easily. That thing was many feet thick that separated man from that room, from intimacy with God, from a face-to-face relationship with God. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says an angel, man, them are some powerful creatures, an angel ripped that veil from the top to the bottom, signifying that the way to Father's house and the way to that room in Father's house that before you and I could not go, the way has been made, Jesus Christ and the cross. Man, we don't have an excuse. Amen. We do not have an excuse to not live lives that please God, lives that reflect God and His character, His nature in our hearts and lives. We have been born again. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a great salvation. We have a gate in our life. We have a door in our life. And we got rooms that He went and prepared that He will navigate us in throughout this life. I'm going to give you this quickly, and then I'll reteach it next week in closing this part. I have a missionary, or I know of a missionary, and this is a true story. Let me save that for next week. It might take too long. Can I give you a Reader's Digest, then we'll talk about it next week. He had evangelized a tribe in Africa, and he wanted to evangelize tribe B, but he couldn't get there. The jungle was so thick. And so he goes to the chief of the tribe he had just evangelized. And there had never been a white man in that area ever. And they had well received him, but it was very dangerous. And he says, I want to go to tribe B and ask for a map. There was no map. There was no compass. There was no directions. And a little guy with a spear and a loincloth showed up and said, follow me. And he hit the jungle with a machete. And the missionary didn't want to go in there, so he stood and said, look, I just want a map. Is there a road? Is there any other way? And the little guy with the loincloth come running back out of the jungle and said, I am the way. Follow me. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. We're looking for formulas. We're looking for principles. And we're trying to live this life independent of Jesus Christ and intimacy with Him. You can't navigate through life and Father's house independent of clinging to Him. I don't know about you, but it's a jungle out there. And there aren't any maps. There aren't any, you do this, do this, do this, and it'll work 100% all the time. And we make Christianity as polluted as religion itself. And God's called us to a relationship with the gate, the door, the high priest that made a room for us in Father's house. Amen. Won't you stand with me? I love you.